This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm your host this evening, and I have a very special guest in the studio with me, Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Kurt. Happy to be here.
That's good. It's so great to have you. Now, you're a partner of an FTM guy.
Certainly am. Very proud to be.
And that's why we've got you in tonight, because I'm really interested in what it's like to be a partner of an FTM guy, because trans people can be quite selfish. We've said that on the show before, and they can sort of make things all about them. So,
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who could I possibly be talking about? But anyway, I'm looking forward to discussing all sorts of things with you tonight. And we've also got a few little readouts for you about La Trobe University, which I have posted on the Facebook page. To find the Facebook page link, you can go on the Joy website, joy.org.au. And we've also got podcasts up, which Andrea is working on. And she does them very quickly. She does them like next day. So you can find the podcast for tonight up probably tomorrow. I will post it on the Facebook page if you go there and like it for us. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm joined by Sarah in the studio.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. It is a good evening, and it's a full moon tonight. So I actually got offered advice to bathe in the full moon and feel its light.
Wow.
Yeah, so if you're out and about tonight...
Does that involve bathing with water or just standing under the light of the moon?
Just under the light. I'm not sure right. if being naked is a requirement, but possibly. So if you are out and about tonight, you could try that while you're listening to the Joy app or streaming through the Joy website, of course. Now, Sarah, I've got you here to talk about what it's like to be a partner of an FTM guy. Now, when I'm talking FTM, I'm sort of talking about the masculine side of the spectrum. So your partner is Gav?
Yes, that's correct.
Hi, Gav.
Hi, Gav. I call him Gabriel. Gabriel's known by very many different names, and so Kurt and I will probably switch between Gav and Gabriel, but we're talking about the same person. And Gabriel is a trans guy and does identify on the masculine end of the spectrum of people who are female to male trans.
Mm. And so you were telling me that you... were with Gav before he decided to go on hormones and have gender reassignment surgery. So were you guys identifying as a lesbian couple?
No, we never identified as a lesbian couple, and I never identified as a lesbian. I was quite happy to identify as gay, but not lesbian for me. I knew that Gabriel was trans when we got together, and indeed before we got together, but we were together before he had started to take steps to affirm his gender with hormones and surgery. And so he was using his male name and using male pronouns, but hadn't yet gone on surgery or gone through the process to start hormones or go through surgery.
Mm. And so you've always known him as Gav or Gabriel.
Yeah.
No other prior name. Were you calling him her?
No, never. Never. Yep. I've known Gabriel for a little bit longer than we've actually been together. We've been together for 4 years, but I've known him probably for about 7 or so years. And for that whole time, he was identifying as male.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't sort of have to make that change and keep remembering to use the right
pronouns. I didn't, but I certainly had to remind others when he wasn't passing, and when he was still actually appearing as female, despite his dress and his name and his haircut and everything like that. People certainly slipped up, and they still continue to slip up to this day. So, yeah, so there is a bit of reminding going on for people.
Mm. And do you think that's sort of up to you as a partner to pull people aside so Gav doesn't have to do it in front of people, or he just doesn't have to do it at all?
We both probably do it equally, and he's also really lucky in that he has a really supportive immediate boss, and his boss is one of his biggest champions as well, and so his boss pulls people up in the workplace. But I do as well sometimes. Sometimes it's not even when Gabriel's around. It might be my friends or my colleagues, and they might slip up and call Gabriel her, and I go, nah, come on, it's he. What are you talking about? Some people I have that relationship with where I can just, you know, say, come on, it's he, but then sometimes sometimes you do have to be quite subtle about it and go about it in a bit of an educative way, which I'm happy to do, but sometimes it can get a little bit exhausting. And one of the things I find bizarre is that Gabriel tends to be correctly gendered when he's on his own or when he's with other males, whether they're trans men or cis men. But then when I'm with him, like if we're walking into a cafe, it'll be table for two ladies. Mm. And I'm like, what is it about me that makes Gabriel look more feminine? Mm. I don't know, maybe because I look completely dykey. I don't know.
Maybe. You don't look that dykey to me. You do look queer. But
Thank you. That's good. Yeah. That's a good thing.
Look, that's interesting you say that because I remember early on in transition, if I was with a bunch of dykes or butch lesbians, I would get gendered she. But if I was in a place where people didn't even know what a queer person was, it would always be he, because it wouldn't even be in their mind that there could possibly be a trans person in front of them.
Yeah. Would you get mate?
Yeah, mate. Yeah. Got mate a lot.
Yeah. Gabriel gets mate when he's on his own.
Yeah.
But not with me.
Yeah. I think that's sort of a code between guys. It's that matey, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of unspoken
mate.
Thing.
Mate.
Yeah. The SMS number for you, 0427JOY949, because we would like you to send us some questions that we can answer and also some feedback of how you're enjoying the show. You can also email onair@joy.org.au. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And Sarah, you had something you want to tell everyone about.
Yeah, I'd like to do a little plug, if I may. Gabriel is on the committee of Transgender Victoria, and Transgender Victoria are bringing you a very special screening of Tea is for Teacher, a wonderful film put together by Rowan Spong. And it's part of the Girls on Film Festival, which is happening this weekend, opening nights on Friday. But Tea is for Teacher is happening at 2 p.m. on Saturday, and it's all happening at the Northcote Town Hall. There'll be some guest speakers from Transgender Victoria before the film, and then you can chat to people from TGV after the film to see how Transgender Victoria is supporting trans people in the workplace and working together with the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission to have a wonderful resource about supporting trans people in the workplace. So get along, Girls on Film Festival this Saturday, Northcote Town Hall, 2 p.m.
Excellent. That sounds great. I'd love to come to that.
Come along.
You're on Transpositions on Joy 94.9 and I'm Kurt and I'm your host this evening. And I have Sarah in the studio who is a partner of an FTM guy. And we would like to get some questions from you guys. If you have any, please SMS 0427JOY949 or you can email tonight onair@joy.org.au and those emails will come straight to us in the studio and we will try our best to answer your question. Now, Sarah, the topic we're all sort of wanting to get to tonight is sexuality because it plays such a big part for trans people and definitely trans people's partners.
Sure does.
So what have you identified as in the past and what are you labelling yourself now, if you are labelling yourself?
Well, you know, I've had a bit of a journey, like a lot of people do. I'm okay with labels, actually. I know that people really don't like them, but I'm okay with them. And, of course, I'm just talking about my own experience as the current partner of a trans guy, not talking about what it would be like for other people. But I dated a cisgender male for quite some time back at uni, and that time I was, you know, I didn't really think that I needed to identify as straight, but I guess I was because I was dating a cisgender guy. And then not long after we broke up, I came out, and I came out as gay, and so I dated cisgender females for a little bit of time after that, and now I'm with Gabriel, and I probably wouldn't identify as gay anymore, but would very happily identify as queer, and I would say I'm queer, and Gabriel and I are a queer couple and very much a part of the queer scene, or, you know, a little bit of queer alternative Melbourne.
Mm.
Yeah.
And well, that's the other thing, Sarah. Were you scared that you guys might blend into the straight world too much?
Yes. I don't want to blend in. That's not my thing. That's not me at all. I'm very proud to be queer and very proud to be, you know, different and not part of the mainstream. And one of the things that was concerning for me as Gabriel continues to affirm his gender is, as you know, that the hormones take hold and he does pass in the general world as male. And I don't want to become invisible. I don't want to be another straight couple on the street. I want to continue to maintain that queer identity and for both of us, not just for me. And so I'm pretty sure that will continue because I doubt we're going to blend into straight society. It's not really in our makeup. But yeah, definitely. Definitely, it's part of queer visibility and trans visibility as well. I want to make sure that we can continue to to be out there and looking a little bit different. It's not that hard for Gabriel to look a little bit different. He's got big ears, spreaders and lots of tattoos and everything. Yeah. So we'll look a little bit different. And I've got a really high quiff for people who don't know what I look like. Yeah. So we'll stand out.
It's looking good tonight.
Thanks. It's squashed by the headphones, but that's okay.
That's okay. Along with public perception, before I say that, what do you think about identifying as pansexual or I think there's a few sort of new sexualities out there.
Yeah, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Yeah, I think absolutely. I think as many different ways that people can identify is totally, you know, it's up to each individual to identify how they want to or to not have any label or to be completely post-gender, whatever people choose. But I think people outside the community can often try and, you know, make fun of the alphabet soup in all their GLBTIQQ, all those sort of things that people are talking about. But I think you need to leave it up to an individual to define themselves how they want to be defined.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Who supports the supporters? So you as a trans partner, who did you talk to when you were confused about your sexuality or who you would be now?
I'm really lucky in that I've got a pretty close-knit group of friends. I can talk pretty freely with them. I'm lucky that I can be out at work and that's not a problem, and so I get a lot of support from work colleagues. And so I think it was probably more when I came out as gay when I was in my 20s. I didn't come out as a teenager, but when I came out in my 20s that I was sort of more concerned about my sexuality and needed more support at that point in time. And so now that I'm, you know, quite comfortable with who I am and I'm quite comfortable that I'm with a trans person, of course I still need the support of my friends, but it's not as urgent as it was when I first came out as gay.
Mm. Was it almost like coming out again for you? Because I know it's sort of like that for a trans person, but I'm not sure about it for a partner.
I don't think it was like coming out again. I think it was more in terms of how do I identify now if I need to put a particular label on it. And because queer fit so perfectly, I didn't really feel that I needed to come out again, but I was, you know, pretty cool with saying, yeah, I'm queer.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I suppose changing your sexualities and gender puts you in a different community. So were you involved in the lesbian community much before?
Probably a little bit. I was, I loved going to Drag Kings as a younger person. And so I'd sort of say that I was a part of that scene. For a little while, I was the convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. And so then I sort of very much felt that I needed to be, hey, I'm the cisgender female co-convener of the lobby. So I'm totally in the lesbian world. But now I'm, you know, totally cool to say, yeah, that was past. I used to do that, but not so much anymore.
Yeah, awesome. And now we've just had a message from a listener saying, call me daft, but what is cis male? Do you want to explain that, Sarah?
I certainly can. Sorry about that. I'm using some jargon. Cis is the opposite of trans. And so rather than saying that that trans is the other, we're saying that that cis is someone whose gender identity matches the sex assigned to them at birth. And so I can use myself as an example. The sex assigned to me when I was born was female. The doctors looked between my legs and said, it's a girl. And now as I've grown up, I identify as a woman. And so I'm cisgender. And so for a cisgender male, it would be a person who was assigned male at birth because the doctor saw a penis between their legs and that person identifies as a masculine person, as a male person.
Mm, that's right. And I do have to clarify, FTM is female to male. I did put this on the Facebook page the other night because last show we were talking in code a little bit too, and it might have confused some people. Please do send us questions if you're having trouble understanding our jargon, 0427JOY949, or email onair@joy.org.au. We were just talking about changing community. How do you find the trans community compared to sort of that gay and lesbian community?
In some ways, I find it all embracing and all welcoming and really celebrating of difference. And in some ways, I find it quite hierarchical in that there can be a lot of judgment on where particular people are in their transition journey. There can be a lot of worshipping people who pass. And for people who are at different stages along their own gender affirmation, there can be some insecurities and feeling uncomfortable amongst the community. And so that's sort of on one hand, but then on the other hand, there are some really awesome people within the community who work to dispel those barriers and to work to make people feel really welcome in the community.
Yeah, that's nicely put. I do really enjoy the trans community. I find it a lot more accepting and a lot more less judgmental. So I do love the trans community, and thank you all you lovely trans people out there for making it so nice. Now we will be talking about much more. The show's going very quickly tonight, but you are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. And I'm Kurt, and I've got Sarah in the studio, and we're talking about what it's like to be a partner of an FTM. Now we have had a message from Candy, who is my partner.
Hi, Candy.
Hi, Candy. Candy says, "Hi, Kurt and Sarah. Great to hear another trans partner's voice. Sometimes it can be easily forgotten how much of a person's transition affects their partner, and it's also a huge journey for them. Sarah, do you have any advice for partners in how to make sure they don't get lost in the crazy journey that is transitioning? Mine would be communication, communication, communication." Thanks, Candy.
Thanks for that question, Candy. I'd have to agree with you 100%. Communication, communication, communication. But also what worked for me, and this is, of course, my experience, and it might be close to someone else's experience or it might be nothing like someone else's experience. So this is what I reckon. I sort of worked with what I was good at, and I was good at organising and being practical and doing those sorts of things that needed forms filling in, that sort of stuff. That was my strength. And so I could sort of work towards that. Like Gabriel would tell people very proudly and happily that Sarah project managed my whole top surgery, and because that was, I went through all the steps of getting the health insurance, filling in the hospital forms, taking him to appointments, because he's a bike rider rather than a car driver, and so I had the license, and so I'd take him places, and so those sort of practical supports that I could offer. I think I was better at the practical supports than the emotional support sometimes. I think I had to get a little bit better about that as things went on. And so to other people out there, if you're not good at the, you know, at the practical stuff, then you might be more there for the emotional stuff, or you can probably balance it a little bit better than I did maybe. But yeah, find what you're good at and stick to that. And if you can't offer support for a particular thing, that's actually okay too. Like, you don't have to be the only person supporting your partner through gender affirmation. I'm sure a lot of partners out there might feel that they're a little bit overwhelmed with what's going on, because as you said in your intro, Kurt, trans guys can be a little bit demanding and might be a little bit selfish. And so for the partners out there, you don't have to think it's only you that can support them. If they want to go out and hang out with their mates, just let them go.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Go chill out. Give me some time. Don't try and do it all, but do what you're good at.
That's really good advice, because as a partner, you're not a trained psychologist and you're not a counsellor. So, you know, you might not know the best way to deal with it or the best advice to give. Do share around the problem.
Yep, share the love. And it's okay if you don't know the right things to say at particular times. Like, I actually found immediately after surgery, I was pretty good. And it was sort of, the more practical things, like, you know, straight after surgery, you know, Gabriel's quite sore and so can't move around a lot. And so I can sort of help him sit up and swing around so he can put his legs off the side of the bed. Like that sort of stuff I was, you know, that I was okay with. But I've heard from some other partners, you know, that they're like, I don't want anything to do with that type thing. So all of those different experiences are totally cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would have found that really helpful, practical things. Yeah. So how was your side of the chest surgery? So Gav obviously went through the surgery, and you know, before the surgery he sort of had to choose if he wanted that irreversible surgery. Did he sort of check with you that it was okay, that it was something that you wanted as well?
Yeah, he did, and it was really sweet. I thought, you know, the way that he said, you know, how will this be for you, how will you feel about me not having breasts anymore, and I was really touched that he actually considered my feelings in this, because I was always like, it doesn't actually have anything to do with me. I know that I'm your partner, and of course, you know, that's a big consideration, but this is your journey, and it's your gender, and you need to do what you need to do in order to affirm your gender, so you're in a happier place. And so it was really touching that he considered my feelings in this, and I just basically went, babe, go for it.
Yeah,
you know, do what you need to do, and I think, and even when I was seeing women. I wasn't particularly a big boob person, and so I was actually okay with them going, and I was really looking forward to being able to place my head on Gabriel's flat chest. So now that I can do that, it's really awesome.
Nice. And does Gav get the phantom boob? So I've heard that you can sort of feel like they're still there even though you've had surgery. Does he get that at all?
I don't think he's ever referred to it as phantom boob. He's really keen for sensation to come back as much as it possibly can. Mm. Gabriel has a chest tattoo, and so he's so I sort of see the tattoo just as much as I see the flat chest and the really straight, hardly to be seen line at all.
Yeah, the scars are pretty good, are they?
Yeah. Gabriel saw Andrew Ives, who I know a lot of trans guys in Melbourne see, and a lot of guys come to Melbourne to see him. And his work's pretty good. I can say that his work's really good, and he's actually a lovely guy. He was really considerate of me as a partner. He always talked to me and included me in the conversation as much as he possibly could. He made me feel really welcome and really part of the journey. And I'm not saying this to give Andy any more plugs, because I know he's very popular, but hopefully in me saying that to other partners out there who haven't gone through surgery yet, Andy was lovely. And after Gabriel's surgery, a couple of months after that, I needed to have my tonsils out. And when we went to see Andy after that, he's like, "Gabriel, you're fine. Sarah, how are you? Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Andy, I'm fine." I couldn't talk. I'm like, "Yeah, Andy, I'm fine." But he's awesome. And so I hope some other partners can sort of, take that on board
Did you want Andy to explain the actual procedure?
I was totally into it. Yeah.
Really?
I wanted to know all the details. And one of the things that Andy said, which I've always remembered, was, "I've never lost a nipple yet." I'm like, "That's really great, Andy." Don't lose Gabriel's.
Where would you find a spare nipple anyway?
The procedure from him.
You can look that up yourself. And was he there when Andy was explaining all the gory details, or did he just not want to know? Did he want to remain in the dark, or...?
Oh, no, he was pretty interested to know what was going to happen. Yeah. He had all the questions, and Andy spent a long, long time with, I keep saying us, but it wasn't really us. I mean, it was Gabriel and us, Andy spent a lot of time with us, and he was really nice to us, but it was all about Gabriel. But in those initial meetings, totally, Gabriel wanted to know all the details, what would happen, what the actual procedure would be called, and those things.
I find it interesting too, but some people just don't want to know.
Yeah.
Now, talking about surgeries, what do you think if your partner came to you and said that they wanted bottom surgery? Because, talking about how it is now, it's not very good, the bottom surgery for FTMs. It's incredibly expensive and unreasonable, and a lot of FTMs choose not to have it. What are your thoughts if your partner came to you and wanted to have bottom surgery?
I'm lucky in that Gabriel has come to me and said that he's completely not interested in bottom surgery, and his reasoning is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so Gabriel is pretty comfortable with his bottom half at the moment, and so hasn't expressed an interest to go forward with bottom surgery, because, as you say, Kurt, it is completely cost prohibitive and it's not done in Australia at the moment, and so it is out of reach for a lot of trans guys, which is unfortunate and quite ridiculous. But the surgery, I think, has a little bit further to go as well.
I can say that a trans guy's natural junk works quite well, and there is no reason to change it. You're listening to Trans Positions on Joy 94.9, and I'm Kurt, and I'm joined by Sarah in the studio. And Sarah is a partner of an FTM boy who we've been talking about all night, and we would like to hear from you. Gav, SMS 0427 Joy 949, or email onair@joy.org.au. And please send us your questions if you would like Sarah or myself to answer any questions. We have had some listeners asking questions, which had a new one I will read out in a minute. Now, Sarah, I wanted to talk about what it's like for you and Gav looking at old photos of Gav pre-T and pre-surgery.
Yeah, sure. I can talk about that. And again, this is my opinion and Gabriel's experience. I'm not trying to generalise or anything like that, just talking from our perception. Gabriel actually is okay with looking at photos of the past. I can do another small little plug in that Gabriel has written an article for MCV where he actually talks about when he was in a band as a younger person, and he was in the band as a female. He's a drummer. He still is a drummer. And he talks about looking back at those old photos, sometimes with a bit of nostalgia and not necessarily disliking that person that he sees in those old photos. There was a great line in his article where he talks about sometimes today feeling, you know, a bit uncomfortable and feeling as though he's been put together with blocks instead of curves. And I think for Gabriel, that can sort of, you know, be a good identifier and a good explanation of what it's like to go on that journey. And so when he looks at photos of himself, I haven't actually seen him with any longer hair than he's got now. Like, he's always had short hair, but certainly I can see the difference that the hormones are making, and, you know, and him becoming a more masculine person. But those old photos are a part of his life, and I quite like looking at them to see what he was like, because he's a few years older than I am, not a great deal, but actually seeing what he was like as a young person, because it was enough of an age difference for it to be a slightly different era of when he was in his 20s and when I was in my 20s, it was slightly different. And so it's like completely different music tastes and everything, but yeah, that's all part of it.
Yeah, nice. You were telling me before the show, just when we were chatting between ourselves, you were saying that you quite liked the androgynous side of things. And that's kind of, you know, you started with drag kings, sort of crushing all over drag kings, and you find that attractive. And is that the same with sort of looking at the old photos? You're still, if Gav was still looking like that, you would still be with him?
Yeah, I think so. When we first got together, Gabriel was definitely quite androgynous, and I was absolutely attracted to that. And as you say, Kurt, that's sort of why I was so happy in that drag king scene for a little while. I am definitely attracted to androgyny, but now that I'm with a trans guy, that's absolutely what I find attractive. And so I think it would be it would be really strange to not be with a trans person, and that's not what I want. I want to be with a trans person, and so that's sort of where I'm at the moment.
Nice. With your family, are they accepting of you having a trans partner?
Yeah, they are. Of course, it's taken a bit of explaining to them what it's all about. My dad's always been great with pronouns. Straight away, he was right on it. Mum, who was probably a little bit slower to get on board, but that's fairly typical of my parents. Whether it was my partner or whether it was anything else I was doing, Dad would always be my biggest supporter, and then Mum would follow up behind. Yeah. So that's fairly typical, and it's something that people say about females and who they're choosing to date, and that Gabriel and my father do actually have a couple of similarities, and it's pretty cute things. It's bird watching and it's bike riding, and so staying up late to watch the Tour de France and looking up birds in bird identification books. So they have some similarities, and Gabriel and my mother talk about art.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Now, along with Gabriel's physical changes, were there some personality changes and emotional changes there?
Yeah, they were, and they were all for the better. They were all positive changes, actually, I'm really pleased to say, in that you can hear some people talking about tea and that it can make guys aggressive, or it can make them be really moody. That hasn't been my experience with Gabriel. Again, this is just my experience with Gabriel. He's pretty much chilled out a lot, and I think he's become sort of less emotional, but not in a completely emotionless way, but he's evened out, and he's a little bit kinder and probably less selfish now that he's on tea.
It's funny you say that, because I feel exactly the same way. I was quite an angry person before I started tea. I think I was bitter about being born female. But then I started, and it really leveled me out. And I know what each emotion is now, whereas before I didn't know what they were, and it just came out as anger. But it's easier to recognise each emotion now, and it's just really settled me down.
I think I felt that a little bit with Gabriel. He wasn't so much an angry person, But now I think with the tea, he's actually more considerate of me and more aware of my feelings within the relationship. So tea's been really good.
Nice. Yeah. And is Gabrielle compassionate? Because it sort of goes with trans people that they turn into these really compassionate beings. I don't know if it's happened for him or not.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah? That's the right thing to say.
Yeah. Hi, babe.
So you didn't sort of have to go through any traumatic events with hormone ups and downs and not getting his shot on at the right time or just sort of not knowing when he needed it?
Totally. There were a few of them. Gabriel hasn't been on tea. That's a jargon, isn't it?
That's
a jargon. Yeah. Tea is testosterone. He hasn't been on tea for a very long time. Since the start of the year, or end of last year, actually. He went through, gel and patches and shots, different types of shots and getting the dose right and that sort of stuff. And he's got a supportive doctor, and so that's been really helpful.
It's really hard to find what's right for you and what your levels are going to be. And because I know that I switch it up sometimes with my shots. Sometimes it's 10 weeks, sometimes it's 12. And it's hard. You do have to go through a bit of distress to find out what's right for you. And
lots of blood tests.
Lots of blood tests, yeah. And I think as a partner, you'd probably be finding that quite hard.
I find all the administration involved in tea is really full on, in that he has so many medical appointments. I reckon I went to the doctor like once last year, and that was to get shots for travelling.
Yeah.
And Gabriel's at the doctor like every week.
Yeah.
And that's really full on.
It is full on. Sometimes it's nice to check in with the GP though, and just tell them how you're going, and you can mention every little thing that's happening, and just get it all checked out. But yeah, lots of blood tests. Now we have had another message in. So grateful for this topic. Thank you. Almost 20 years as a lesbian couple, my partner has begun to come out as gender diverse, eschewing and embracing both male and female and everything in between. While I support my partner, it has been an earthquake in my own life. I have yet to find another person in exactly my position. My partner is not stone nor FTM. There are so many variables, and sometimes I find my aloneness detracts from my ability to support my partner. Well, thank you for that message. And it is hard when someone is identifying as gender diverse,
yeah.
Because it's not really fitting into man or woman or the, yeah. The binary.
And I think embracing that space in between male and female is really important, and acknowledging that there are people who are gender diverse, gender variant, gender queer. Again, you don't have to label it, but it's a whole spectrum, and there are people within the spectrum rather than just fully identifying as a masculine person or a feminine person.
That's right. And nowadays, I hate to say it, but I think it's a bit trendy to be gender diverse. It's hip with the hipsters, and it's a lot more accepted, which is nice. And in the future, I can see it being even more accepted. Now, we have been having great chats. We've just had another message in, and I will read that out to you in a minute. But Sarah, first, I just wanted to thank you for coming in tonight and talking about your life as a trans person partner.
It's been an absolute joy being on Joy, talking about my life as a partner of a trans person.
And Candy, my partner, said communication is her tip for a healthy trans partnered relationship. And what was your tip?
I agreed with communication, but also do what you're good at, and you don't have to do it all.
That's it. You don't have to do it all. You can share the problems.
Share the love.
Share the love, yes. A problem shared is a problem halved. Now, thank you all for listening tonight. It's been great chats. And, Sarah, I could talk to you way more, so hopefully
you could have me on again.
We could, yeah. That'd be great. I did mention, go to the Facebook page, the Transpositions on Joy 94.9 Facebook page. And if you would like to find podcasts of Transpositions, you can go to the Joy website, joy.org.au. Our podcaster, Andrea, busily works away and gets the podcasts up pretty quick. So if you would like to know when the podcasts are up, you can visit the Joy website or have a look on our Transpositions on Joy 94.9 Facebook page. You're on Joy 94.9. Have a good evening. Bye.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.